Before reaching the shed, Daniel and I stopped at an indoor flea market and picked up some camouflage-style clothing. Daniel got a pair of army green pants, a black muscle shirt, and a camouflage hat. I got a pair of camel pants and a black t-shirt. I wanted to help pay for the stuff, but he wouldn't let me. We argued over it for a bit. It was foolish of me anyway. I didn't have the money, but I didn't want him to know that I only had $50 to my name. The shed was a bar on the outskirts of a tiny town. We had stopped several times and asked directions. Late afternoon, right before dark, we came to a sign that said, "Welcome to Pintville, population 452. On the way in, we spotted two restaurants, both of them fast food, a post office, a motel, a few stores, and offices that had already closed down for the night, and one bar, the shed, that was open in full force. The parking lot was packed full of trucks and jeeps painted in camouflage patterns, some with deer antlers mounted on them, a couple with cow horns attached to the front. There were the usual pickups, too, and even a couple of all-terrain amphibious vehicles like the one Bob kept in our shed. Daniel looked over at me. "Well, here we are, little redneck woman." "Oh, shut up," I said. In a way, he was making fun of Bob's world, and I thought of me, too. He reached into the glove box to take out his gun. "Better leave that in here," I said. "Look," I pointed at the door of the shed. A guy was checking people with a metal detector, a large sign read, "No weapons, no cell phones, no cameras." Daniel moaned, then took his phone out and placed it in the glove box as well. "No way to call for help if we get into trouble," he said. "And then let's just not get into trouble." When we got out at the bar, we were met at the door by a huge man with a bushy head and black hair, glassy eyes, horrible acne scars, and the tattoo of a naked woman on his right bicep. Like us, he was dressed in camo. He ran the portable metal detector over Daniel, then me. Then he patted down both of us, searching for cell phones and plastic weapons. When he was satisfied that we were clean, he spoke. "Got any identification?" "Just our driver's license," Daniel said. "Ain't good enough. What set do you belong to?" A couple of guys walked right past us with guitar cases. "Oh, we're part of the entertainment," Daniel said. "We sing." "Do you now?" the guy asked. I tried to remember the name that I had heard Bob use a few times he had mentioned his militia group. "Mount Moriah Spiders," I said. The man's eyes lit up. He had heard the name. He motioned for us to enter. Two guys at the door let us pass. "Oh, wait," the guy said. We froze. I was terrified he was going to grab us. "What's the name of your act?" "Skinhead Revival," Daniel blurted. "I was born in Alabama." The bushy head nodded. "Righteous." We were in. Daniel leaned into my ear. "How did you know to say what you said to him?" "I almost didn't. I wasn't sure he'd get us in. I heard Bob talk one time about Mount Moriah Spiders." I grinned, and he thought I never listened. He'd be so proud of me now. "That is scary on so many levels," Daniel said. The room was dim and smoky. The inhabitants were mostly men, but hefty women with scowling faces and masculine stances were scattered among them, as well as a few more feminine types, which made me wonder why had Bob never brought me, or had he invited me, and I wanted no part of it. Perhaps it was both. In that moment, I realized that my husband had been part of a whole other world, and I felt so ashamed. How could I have lived with him for so long and known so little about him? I thought I knew him, but this was a bizarre world, even for me. Daniel pulled me up to the bar, which sat on one end of the large rectangular room. A stage sat at the other. The bathroom doors and doors leading to the back parts of the building were positioned along one wall and the outside door along the opposite. There were no windows in the building, and the lighting was bar bulbs. The entire interior was lined in foil, blackened by smoke, time and a bad spray paint job. On stage, a guy was belting out a tune about how a country boy can survive, and people were flicking their lighters and hollering out things like, "That's right, brother," and "Amen," as if they were in a religious meeting of some sort. A guy who, for the entire world, looked like a pirate, sat about halfway between the stage and the bar. While Daniel ordered us drinks, I watched the man. He had long dark hair, an earring, and a horrible handlebar mustache. With his big hook nose and large mouth, he was homely beyond words. I couldn't stop staring at him. He looked like something from a bad movie. Then he winked at me. I pulled myself up to the counter and tried to use Daniel to block his view. "Beer. Daniel Ransom ordered me a beer." "I don't like beer," I told him. "It tastes like pee." "If you don't drink beer in a place like this," he said, "people will think there's something wrong with you." "If I do drink it, I'll puke," I said. "Then they'll know there's something wrong with me." Daniel didn't respond because the guy on the stage finished and the room erupted in hoots, hollers, and applause. Then the announcer said, "We'd like to welcome to the stage a couple of patriotic real Americans that have come all the way from Alabama. Please make welcome for Skinnerd Revival." A bunch of guys started hollering, "Yeah!" The guy behind the microphone motioned for Daniel, who grabbed hold of me and pulled me along. I kept trying to tell him that I didn't sing, but he couldn't hear me. As we got on stage, I hollered right in his ear that I couldn't sing. "Try," is all he said. Dan said something to the band, and they started playing a song that I recognize. Daniel took to the stage and began, "Big wheels keep on turning, carry me home to see my kin," singing songs about the Southland. I was flabbergasted. He could sing, really sing. By the time he got to the chorus, the audience was on their feet, flicking their lighters, singing so loudly that they were drowning him out, drowning me out. He had to do an encore of the song, and we witnessed the same thing again. When he finished, they wanted more, so he let in on a country tune, something about honky-tonks and badonka-donks, whatever that meant. I moved my mouth because, again, those people knew that song and were carrying on something awful. Then, as we were about to exit the stage and people's applause was dying down, a horrible thing happened. The pirate guy hollered, "Let the girl sing!" I was petrified. Daniel took the mic and he fumbled around, clearing his throat for a second. "Folks, the young lady is suffering from a sore throat tonight. It's been tough on her, so I hope y'all take a rain check and she'll sing for you the next time." Back at the bar, I didn't know whether I wanted to hug Daniel Ransom or kick him. I was amazed that he pulled that off, but so mad that he had dragged me up there. The old pirate guy came over to us and nudged right between Daniel and me. He offered me his hand. I noticed an enormous gold ring that was shaped like a scorpion. "Name's Bud. Buy you a drink, little lady." "Just a minute," I said, and darted around him. I grabbed Daniel by the elbow and pulled him away from the bar. "That guy wants to buy me a drink." "Let him," Daniel said. "He may know Bob. Sort of fill him out and bring Bob up any way you can. See what he knows. Don't worry, I'll be watching. If things get out of hand, I'll step in." "You better," I said. I went back to the bar. "That guy your boyfriend?" the homely pirate asked. "No," I said, "he's just my singing partner." The guy smiled. "Good." Then he hollered at the bartender, "Two beers." We went back to his table. I looked up to make sure Daniel was watching me, but he wasn't. Two women were talking to him. One of them was already putting her hands on his biceps, and he was smiling. The other one took off a straw cowboy hat she was wearing and set it right over on his head. I had no idea what they were saying to him, but it didn't look like I liked their body language one bit. I don't know why, but seeing those girls on him made me about as mad as finding a fat tick in my dog's ear. "Bloodsuckers," I thought to myself. I wanted to march right over there and tell them that he had a wife.
So you like to sing? The guy at the table said.
I'm having throat trouble tonight.
Don't matter, he said. It does my heart good to see a little gal like you taking part in keeping our country safe. You know, most girls that look like you are running around in their little foreign cars with their cell phones up through their ears. They're living the life. They don't think, he said. I stared at him. He sounded so much like Bob.
I listened as he continued talking about the fallacies of American politics, about CIA cover-ups and lies. Then he said,
Hey, how about you and me getting out of here? I got my RV parked right behind this place.
First, I said, I'd tell you who I'd love to meet. I'd love to meet a man they call Pork Chop McQuade. I think his real name is Bob.
Guy shook his head. Sad thing. Old Pork Chop used to be a devoted member, but he ain't been to a meeting in, oh, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years.
A feather could have knocked me over.
For 4 years, Bob had not been coming?
Then where had he and Morgan been going one weekend out of the month for the past 4 years?
You all right? The guy said.
I nodded. I'm not feeling well.
He put his hand on my thigh. I can make you feel a lot better. Come out to the RV with me.
I looked to see if Daniel were watching. The women were gone. Daniel was gone, too. Holy crap, I thought. Daniel has deserted me. The thought that he had gone off with those women did as much to terrify me as the thought that Bob had been lying to me for 4 years. Then I felt someone's hand on my shoulder. Daniel had come from somewhere on the other side of the room. He hadn't left with the women.
You ready? He said.
Now hold on a minute, the pirate guy said. Your music partner was about to come out to my RV for a late-night drink.
I don't think so, Daniel said.
She needs her rest. Got a big day tomorrow.
Needs to rest her voice.
It ain't her voice that I'm interested in, the guy said. Now, if you'll kindly leave us be, I'll drop her off wherever she needs to go.
No, Daniel said. She's coming with me.
Look. She said she ain't your woman. Now get lost, man, before I rearrange your face for you.
Well, she lied, Daniel said. She is my woman, and I'm taking her home with me. That guy jumped up from the table and belted Daniel so hard that he landed on some other guy's table, then slid off, pulling drinks and pretzels right along with him. I ran to Daniel, but that guy grabbed hold of me and swung me around.
You little hussy, he said. You lied to me. I'm a good mind to beat the
toucher and I'll kill you, Daniel said. He was standing now, blood pouring from his nose. People were all around us, but not one of those people who had hollered and applauded offered to help us now. The guy shoved me into Daniel.
Here, take your little whore and get out of here.
Your kind ain't welcome in our midst. No one bothered us as we walked out into the night, but I could feel their stares on my back. What did these people think? That I would go home with some stranger who had bought me a beer? I didn't even like beer. Inside the truck, I pulled a pair of panties from the bag that Annie had given me and held them to Daniel's nose, trying to get the bleeding to stop. I'm so sorry, I kept telling him.
Are you okay? He said.
Yes, but you're not. I'll be fine. Can you drive my truck?
Sure.
So we switched places and I drove while Daniel sat with his head bent over and a pair of cotton panties held to his face, trying to stop the bleeding.
I should have seen that coming, he said.
I could have blocked that, you know. I could have hurt that guy.